Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we'll be going over the lesson Crossing the River Jordan. Joshua chapter 3 is where we'll be looking at. Joshua chapter 3. And we'll start reading there. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hithertofore. Verse 5, And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. New paragraph. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam and beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Verse 17, And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over in on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And go down, we'll go to verse 6, chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Wilson, would you start us off with a word of prayer, please?
Lord, we're thankful to be in your house. We're thankful that you have an open door and we're invited. We're thankful for that. So we pray that you're blessed. Have your way in this class, Lord. You know what we need. You know, you understand, Lord. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, let's take a look at our seminary notes here. Actually, this is kind of divided in two sections. Basically, the front page is goes over the chapters we just read, and the back part of this lesson is kind of like talks about it. All right, let's go into the exposition here. Israel, in the first part of chapter 3, Israel is removed or leaves from the town called Shittim. This is the place where they had sinned. Now, this is the place where they rested in sin. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. This is where they committed some terrible atrocities that they had to repent of. And if you don't remember what all that was about, you can go back to Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. Okay, the day after they left that encampment, the day after the two spies got back from their mission. There's the date, the 9th of Nisan. Not wasting any time. Their move across the Jordan was to be on the 10th. And this would fall 3 days after the completion of the 30 days of mourning for Moses. The 30 days of mourning for Moses was up on the 7th of that month. Their calendar, of course, has different months than our calendar, which is basically a Roman-type calendar. Let's see. Verse 3. There are only four times in the Bible that it is mentioned that priests bear the ark. And they're listed here. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. Joshua chapter 6, verse 6. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 6. All the other times in the Bible, it is the Levites carrying the ark. What is known as the Shekinah glory, the glory cloud of the presence of the Lord. If you remember, that cloud filled the tabernacle. And when Moses would come to meet God face to face, the cloud would be there. And it would lead the congregation it would be a flame of fire at night and a cloud by day. They would follow the Shekinah glory. Now, the Shekinah glory used to lead the congregation, but with the death of Moses, the Shekinah glory is gone. It's not there anymore. The cloud represented our former state under the cloud of the law, under the cloud of the law of Moses. But now, crossing over, it is done away with. And we are under the new leadership of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our leader. Verse 4. A space between you and it, that is the ark, about 2,000 cubits. That translates into about a half a mile. Not exact, but it's about a half a mile. This same distance is also called in the New Testament a Sabbath day's journey. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. It's at least one place that says that. And this symbolizes God's holiness. There's a distance between the common man, like you and I. There's a distance between us and God. Always will be. He is infinite in His knowledge, infinite in His holiness and wisdom, and we're just finite man. Also, in reference to that, you might want to check Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. His ways are greater and higher than our ways. I thought that was a very good reference along this line. Now, some Jewish literature theorizes that there were at this time two arcs spoken here. One ark, the ark of God, and the other ark is the ark of Joseph carrying his bones to Machpelah. Now, as far as I can see, that cannot be found in the text. I can't, even looking at original languages and things, I don't see it. But anyways, there's a theory out there that says that. Only those sanctified will pass over to the promised land, the promised reward. New Testament reference, Revelation 21, 7 and 8. Those who overcome will receive the inheritance of all things. Revelation 21, 7 and 8, the wicked and the defiled shall not enter in. Now, Joshua chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, the priests and Levites were to come to the edge of the overflowing river, as it was time of harvest, as mentioned in the text. And that time of harvest was the barley harvest. In the months of March through April, that is barley harvest. I wonder what harvest they was talking about. And you'll see that 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 15. Or we're talking about, as we said before, the 10th day of the month. Now keep in mind that it's the 16th of that month is the Passover. Snow on Mount Lebanon melts this time of year, causing the overflow of the banks of the Jordan. That's where all this extra water is coming from. It's not at its normal level. Now the cities... On the overflow, see Jeremiah 18:14 and 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 15. I have to read that, even though it's in front of you, because some of our audience is not here and they don't have the notes. So that's why I have to read that to you. Okay. All right. And we're thankful that there are people out there that listen to this church and these classes. All right, let's continue. Verse 16, cities of Adam and Zertan, mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 12. You can look that up later. Both were located 12 miles away from the actual flow of the river. In other words, the river, if it went down through the middle here, 12 miles on either side, one was located 12 miles inland and the other one was 12 miles inland. So this water that's backed up and is heaping up is reaching way back into the land. The distance from where the ark was to be held at the river to the city to the north was 40 miles. So where the ark was in the being held in the river, you go upstream, that's 40 miles to where these... towns are. Now, going in the other direction, the distance down south to the Salt Sea was 18 miles. Normally, the Jordan is about 3 yards deep and about 30 yards wide at this point. Crossing over on dry ground represents a fact. This is what it points to, that we may pass through death on solid ground and not suffer from fear and distress. This is the symbolic meaning of passing over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And we have the shepherd who leads us through this dry ground. And this will be the valley of the shadow of death. We are to fear no evil. Chapter 4, verse 3. Let's go on down to that point. The 12 men mentioned was appointed back in chapter 3. The 12 men had to go back after everybody went through, as we read, went through on dry ground. They had to go back into the midst of the Jordan where the priests were standing. And they've already gone through it, but they have to come back. Every man took a stone for a memorial. The memorial is important. A memorial is to be there to remind people of something. In this instance, it was 12 stones. Probably very large stones. If they had to put it up like on their shoulder, that'd be like, you know, a big sack of potatoes or something you carry around. So these were large stones. But a memorial is an important thing. And these were to be placed as a memorial. Now, some commentators that I read thought that these stones became inscribed with family names, each family, like Levites or whatever. And they put their name on their stone that they were carrying. But it's not mentioned in the text, so I don't know if that's the way it was or not. Now, the New Testament church has memorials. The one I can think of would be the memorial of the Lord's table. It is there to remind us of something. We dare not forget God's grace and His shedding of His blood for us. Okay, so the 12 men had to go back into the midst of the river that they may not forget God's grace to them. The memorial in the River Jordan, there was two memorials. The memorial left in the river is also referred to by John the Baptist. Some people don't know this, but in John the Baptist, in the New Testament, he mentions in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, these stones bearing witness. And that's what he's talking about. He was baptizing in the River Jordan. Those stones at that particular time were still there. You can look up that reference when you get a chance, Matthew 3, 9. One 12-stone memorial was also placed in the first camp in the Promised Land. This is called Gilgal, which means wheel. I'm not sure why there's a meaning behind that. And this memorial was to be forever. Now, questions come up. Wars. This the book of Joshua is a book of warfare. Wars. Can any war be justified? One clue is see Psalm 144, verse 1. Christ told us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, so that we know in His prophecy He wasn't wrong, so they're not going away. Now, the old reformer called John Knox centuries ago taught that only a defensive war could be justified. Now, since God our Father, showing Himself to be a God of war, in this book in particular that we're studying, as well as God of peace, demands that we fight the good fight of faith, And we will always be in a spiritual war. Now, there's a difference between, we have to understand, there's a difference between God's wars and our own personal battles. We have personal battles every day. We are to love our own personal enemies, fulfilling the law in this, being careful not to lie, to steal, cheat, bear witness against our enemies. In so doing, we fulfill the law. God fights our own personal battles. Vengeance belongs to Him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Found also in the law, Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. On the other hand, we are to wage war against God's enemies, fighting for our Lord and not ourselves. The church's battle is against sin and error. Since Christ, this is an important point right here, since Christ is Lord of all, there is no place He shouldn't be in our society. That means Christ should be in our government. He's Lord of all. He should be in our business. He should be in our schools. And most importantly, He should be in our homes. It's not up to us to just watch and wait for the rapture. We have things to do. The church needs to teach its young men how to stand up as a Christian man on holy ground. Holy ground are the principles of this book, the Bible. The principles of righteousness. Now, through in here, in closing, some standard rules of engagement. Then these are taken from World War II. Now, things have changed a lot, but I thought these were good. We're going to adapt these to our Christian mission here. Number one, no communication with enemy, nor any type of union or fellowship with them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And a very good one in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Now, keep in mind, we always keep the lines of communication open to command headquarters. We know the throne of God is there, open for us. And that is done in prayer. We don't dare let, in a battle, we don't dare let the lines of communication get cut off. And our lines of communication get cut off through sin. Second principle or rule of engagement, we don't take and use the enemy's weapons, but we're there to destroy his weapons. We are not to return evil for evil, lie for lie, but we're to overcome evil with good. Good principle. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Third standard rule of engagement in battle is no cowardice is permitted. No retreats unless so directed by headquarters. There's a there's a verse in the New Testament that says we're to flee youthful lusts. So there's a time to get out, and then there's a time to do battle. Let's see. No cowardice, no retreats are permitted unless so directed by headquarters. Paul pictures the Christian as a prayer warrior in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. All of the armament, if you read that, and I'm sure you have, is a picture, but it's the armament is all forward looking. It's got a shield, and you have a sword, which also indicates we don't fight just defensively. The sword is not just a defensive weapon. So, since all this stuff is forward-looking, there is no place of retreat. No one is to turn and run. Now, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been. over the centuries of Christianity, there have been plenty of them. There is no surrender as Christians. We are to go down fighting. We're not to go down sleeping. We are not to be weary and well-doing. Number four, we are not to be concerned about the enemy's approval or disapproval. Fifthly, we're not to give ease to the enemy of God. We're not to aid and abet, that is, to encourage them, assist them in their mission. Now, if somebody who is an atheist, who is against God, needs medical attention or needs a place to stay, we're to show hospitality and love to that person. But we're talking about the spiritual warfare here. All right. The battle is ours. The battle is daily. He will make all nations his footstool. That's the word of God. According to Psalm 2, Psalm 110, verse 1, Matthew 22, verses 42 through 45, as well as Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. He is going to win the battle. All nations, capitals, and cities, be it London, Washington, or even Mecca, will fly the flag. Now, I'm not sure it'll be what's going to be on the flag. It could be the Star of David. It could be the flag should just maybe bear the cross. That'll be up to our Lord. But he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is written that he is going to rule. This cannot be changed. Those who fight against his lordship, either in their hearts or nationally, politically, those who fight against his lordship fight against God himself. Question you have to ask yourself each day, whose side am I on and what can I do for the cause? And of course, may he be praised for all his glorious victories in our hearts and in our minds. And that we should be all thankful for. Brother Bill, would you mind closing, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, pray for this opportunity, pray for food we have to come to your house tonight and study your word, Lord. Yes. Lord, we just pray you to bless Byron, Lord, in heaven. Strengthen, Lord, and help him, vision, Lord, and help us all, Lord, to stand and fight, Lord, the good fight, the fight of faith, Lord. And Lord God, you equip us all, Lord. Help us, Lord. We pray for your leadership, God, and grace, Lord. And we pray for all the sick and afflicted. Pray for all the lost, Lord, even lost souls. We pray that you speak to them before they left too late. Pray for all souls, Lord, bless them, Lord. Pray for Israel for their peace and safety, Lord. Pray for our country too, Lord. And we would raise the banner of Jesus in our country, in our homes, in our lives, everywhere, Lord. Lift him up high.
Lord,
all glory
and
honor and praise
belong
to you.
In Jesus'
name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now we're going to have W.C. come and give us our evening message. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord again that we are blessed to be in the Lord's house again, that we might praise Him and thank Him and give Him the glory for being so good to us, blessing us that we can come here tonight, Lord's house, have fellowship with one another in the glory and the greatness and the love of God, for how great He is, for how much He loved us, what He's done about it, give up His only Son, send Him down here to suffer and die, that we might live forever. And we are blessed tonight to come here to the Lord's house and have fellowship with one another. Beloved, it's another day that God's made. It's another day of His mercy. Beloved, for every soul that's not in, to have another opportunity to come in. Well, they have time, beloved, whether they will or not. That's unknown by me. God is a great God, beloved. He's all-knowing. He's all-merciful. He's all-loving. Because He gave up His only Son, sent Him down and suffered and died. Beloved, and me and you might be here tonight. So I'm glad you're here tonight. I pray the Lord for your presence. You come this way. That we could just have fellowship in the love of God and the greatness of God, beloved. Beyond our comprehension, it really is, beloved. You see, every day we are another day closer to home.
Amen.
This life will be over, beloved. We're one day closer, beloved. But the reason we come here, beloved, life will never be over through the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It only just begun when we leave this world, beloved. It only just begun. So I pray and thank Him you're here tonight, and I thank Him for letting me be here tonight. I want to pray for these on the prayer list, the ones that are sick and afflicted. Some of them real critical. David's sister is, and Marie, she's still in ICU, she's pretty critical. Beloved, they can't, vitals won't come around. Somebody has to be able to, if he will, he'll pray.
Lord, you're a great God, merciful, long-suffering for us, Lord. You love us and care about us, Lord. You're a God of love, Lord. And you're merciful to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, you're not with me as you perish all to come to Him, Lord, because of your great love. You sent Jesus to die for our sins, Lord, and we can be all right in your sight, Lord. Let us all receive that, Lord. Let us all lift Jesus up, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for all these people, Lord. Prayer is, Lord. And be with us. What's that the one Dusty mentioned?
Yes, Lord.
Marie, Lord, she up there in a battle, Lord, and don't know, Lord. But Lord, you know. You know her body. You know everything about her, Lord. And Lord, we ask a special blessing for her, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, we don't know. But you do, Lord. You know even the numbers I have, Lord. You know I'm going up and going down, Lord. And we ask for special blessing that you will watch us, Lord. And take care of your will be done, Lord. And David's sister, Lord, up there, they real bad sick, Lord. And I pray for her too, Lord. All those people are bad sick, Lord. Lord, help them. Ease their pain, Lord. Because you can, Lord. Lord, help those, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for the Lord, Lord. Save them, Lord. Speak to them, Lord. Send the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts, Lord, and tell them, Lord, they need Jesus, Lord. They need forgiveness of their sins, Lord. How many of us is righteous?
Yes, Lord.
No righteous, no.
Yes, Lord.
We all need saving, Lord. And you sent Jesus to save all, whosoever will. Lord, we pray for whosoever will, shall come. The very worst and very best, Lord, save us. And Lord, we just pray, Lord. Our souls bless them, Lord. Pray for Israel, for their peace and safety and their leaders, Lord. They got a new leader, Lord. We pray for him. And Lord, we pray for our country, Lord. We can put you up in everything, Lord. In our lives, home, businesses, everywhere, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to turn from all evil ways. Keep your face. Repent. And you said you heal all in. Lord, it's in your word. You promised it, Lord. But there's something we have to do. Lord, I pray if we could as a country, our leaders, and the people too, Lord. Lord, bless the seed tonight. Lord, bless your word. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is a great God, brother. Got your Bibles with you tonight. I thought I might read a little in the 3rd chapter of Matthew. Matthew is the chapter where the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist out in the River Jordan. Love it. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, beloved, there's times, you know, and there was a time when, in the beginning, when God created everything, and the starting of it was, in the beginning, with the world was without form and void, but God said, let there be light, and the physical light took place, but, physical light, the sun and the moon and stars and everything, beloved. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, beloved, the spiritual light was created, beloved. Well, it's created for the stars ever shine, beloved. For the stars ever shine. Well, for the foundation of the world was laid, what the Bible says, beloved. The spiritual light lights the inside of man, beloved. His heart and his soul and his mind, beloved. If it's received, beloved, and it's the only light, beloved, that counts for us, the light of life and life everlasting, beloved, sent down from God, from heaven, beloved, sent down here, from him to us, beloved. So John, come preaching, repent you every one, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, beloved, that's a long time ago, well over 2,000 years ago. What you think about it now, beloved? It's, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, beloved. But for us, beloved, it may have to go any time. It's at hand now, beloved. So, beloved, we need this. The knowledge of saving grace of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophets. Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. So Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was coming, beloved. And they were, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the one that was prepared the way, beloved, for the Lord Jesus. And he was out at the river preaching, beloved. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, what do you think about a preacher that looks like that, beloved? He must have been a sight to see, hadn't he? He brought his own son to eat with him, beloved. But, beloved, it's not the appearance. It's not the raiment of this world, beloved. It's the light that John the Baptist knew about, beloved. It was the one that John knew, beloved. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. So we are told here, beloved, the way to go, what to do, beloved, to be baptized and confess our sins, beloved. And John come preaching repentance. The word repentance means for us to turn from our way and turn to the Lord's way, beloved. See, man born a sinner, beloved, and when he becomes the age of a sinner, his back is on God, beloved. But man is to turn, beloved, by invitation come from heaven, beloved, to face God and to seek him, beloved, through the Spirit, beloved. That's what John was preaching. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, and he saith unto them, O ye generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? How about that now, beloved? All great numbers come out there, beloved, to the river. And John called them vipers. You know what a viper is, beloved? How about that, beloved? But John had something for them, beloved, that would change. That would change them, beloved. See, there has to be a change made, beloved. John, beloved, was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a matter of speaking, he was sent from heaven, beloved. We need the blessing that's come down from heaven, beloved. God sent his Son down here. We'll get to that. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So God, ain't nothing God can't do, beloved. And they were all the time talking about Abraham, beloved. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. A tree that don't bring forth no fruit ain't no good, beloved. Might as well cut it down. But this is not talking about the trees, beloved. This is talking about us. It's talking about the Christians. You see, we are pictures of fruit trees. And we'll have fruit, beloved, on us through the power of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of God, beloved. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Beloved. So John said, not me. There's one coming after me. Beloved. His shoes, I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes. Beloved. He is the one, beloved. And that's the name that's hated so bad in the United States of America. And our government now, beloved. They don't like the name of Jesus, beloved. Did you know, beloved, that they don't like Christians? They talk about some of those generals up there in the Pentagon ordered the generals not to promote Christianity. That was terribly wrong, beloved. But see, the reason I make a statement like that, they never mention the other religion. They'll never mention. They're all right, beloved. Just Christianity. Yeah. And the reason for it is the word Christianity has got the name of Christ in it. It begins with Christ's name, beloved. And that's the name that they don't like, beloved. But that's the only name under heaven whereby man can be saved. Ain't no other. Amen. And there ain't no other needed. No other name's needed, beloved. That's sufficient for everybody. Nobody's left out, beloved. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Well, you see, there'll be a separation, beloved. You know, when it come time for the wheat, beloved, they took it out there. They had a floor there, beloved, and the wheat fell down on the floor, but the chaff fell over to the side, beloved. That was the holes and things. They wasn't no good, beloved. And they usually done that with a little breeze blower that would blow it out of the wheat, and the wheat was heavy enough that it fall on the threshing floor, beloved. And then it was gathered up, beloved, into the garner. the children of God going to be gathered up. No?
That's right.
But the chaff's not any good. The chaff is symbolized here, beloved, as the one that won't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't hear him, won't accept him, beloved. The terribleness of it is they're going to be burnt up. The terribleness of it, beloved. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Lord, I need you to baptize me, and you come here and want me to baptize? And Jesus answered said unto him, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. That was the word of Jesus. Suffer it to be so, to baptize me. For thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Well, you know, see, baptism represents the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, blood. And then Jesus always taught, follow me. Follow me, blood. And when we are baptized, that's what it symbolizes, blood. It symbolizes when you go down in the water to death, blood, and the burial. And then when you come up, it symbolizes the resurrection, blood. Life and life everlasting. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, the 17th verse one I always love. And lo, and lo, I'm having a lot of trouble. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
This is my beloved Son. Beloved, that's the only way me and you can please God. It's through His Son. There ain't no other way.
Right.
There ain't nothing about me that's no good except what Jesus done for me, beloved. Can you comprehend that? This is my beloved Son. Whom I well please. Man, you can please God, beloved. But the only way we can is through the gift that God sent down here, beloved, of His Son, the Lord Jesus. That's the only way. The righteousness and the greatness and the grace of the Lamb of God, beloved, is the only thing to make me and you pleasing in the sight of God, beloved. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Beloved, there will come a day when we need to please God. And that day will be when we see Him. We're going to appear there, beloved, at the judgment seat, beloved. Of course, God put all judgment in the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, the Lamb of God, beloved. But the only way we'll ever approach the throne of God, beloved, is through the righteousness and the saving grace and the shed blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. We'll have to be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Now, Jesus said, suffer it to be so, to be baptized with the water, beloved. But the greatest baptized, John said, there's one that's coming after me. That's preferred before me. He's the one that's going to baptize you. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, that's some kind of baptism, ain't it, beloved? That's where the power's at, beloved. You see, there ain't no power about us other, beloved, than the power that God sends, beloved. All the power that moves and stays and saves, beloved, and brings us understanding and heals us and blessing us, beloved, comes down from heaven, beloved. That's the power, beloved, that John was talking about. Now, the water baptism, we are told to be baptized in the water, beloved. I told you it's a symbol of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, this baptism that John said, the one that's coming after me, that's preferred for me, will baptize you. That's not a symbol, beloved. That's the power of God, beloved. That's the one, beloved, that will show you the way home, beloved. That's what we need, beloved, is the way home.
Amen.
That way is the Lord Jesus, God's Son. There ain't no other way, beloved. There ain't no other way needed. That's sufficient for every soul there is in the whole world, beloved. The whole world, beloved. All the religions, beloved. All the religions, beloved. And that's some religion, they fight and kill for their religion, beloved. They've not anything said about them, beloved. And it's everybody with them, beloved. It's the Christian, the Jews, and the atheists, and everybody that don't belong to them, beloved. But that's all right. In fact, they got a law in the state of California passed out there that they can teach the school young ones, beloved, that Koran, beloved. There ain't no law in the United States of America that even permit the study of the Word of God, beloved. You know the reason for that, beloved. It's the God of this world. Old Satan, he's the God of the world, beloved. He is. He's a liar, beloved. He don't want the name of Jesus mentioned. And see, the heathen and the atheists, all they may not know, but Satan knows. He knows what that name means, beloved. It means that if you hear it and you receive it and you come to know him, you will be saved, beloved, and you'll be forever out of his reach. Hallelujah. The saving grace of the Lamb of God, beloved. Whosoever will, let him come. Dismiss with me.
Lord, it's good to be in your house tonight. It's good to hear these words. And we know they come from the throne of grace, and we can have them, Lord. All we have to do is come and seek you and look for you. We pray that you'll give us the strength to, and then we pray that you'll bless each one that's here tonight. Bless every heart.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And the ones that's not here, we pray for them too. The whole world, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.